This episode of Says Who is brought to you by you through your support of our Patreon at patreon.com/says who. That's our Patreon, where pretty much every Sunday, though I'll admit we're in the midst of summer, things are a little patchier than usual. But you do mostly get this all over again. And even if you don't get this one Sunday, there are like 250 episodes of that shit available to you if you give it the $5 or $10 a month level, because you become a member of the Says Who Patreon. I'm got lost there in my mind. $5 a month gets you access to the Town Watch. That's that Sunday special that we do. $10 gets you the Town Watch and gets you a sticker in the mail. Every month that you give at that level, you are a member of the Says Who Sticker Club. The best club. Also the club that usually sends me into an abject panic at some point in a month when I need to get a sticker designed. But hey, well, who doesn't like that? Patreon.com/says who.
Everybody, in just over a month's time, you are the detective, the Creeping Hand Murder, the solve-it-yourself murder mystery will be out the 16th in the United States of September and the 25th in the UK. And it's coming to a bunch of other countries. It's going to be next year because it has to be translated, but it's going to be out in, it's actually going to be out in a number of languages. It's going to be very cool.
Icelandic.
Not Icelandic.
Finnish?
Not yet. No.
Swahili?
No.
Mandarin?
No.
Okay.
Try like three more.
Papiamento?
Okay, what's that?
That's what they speak in Aruba.
Oh.
So it's a hybrid language of, I believe, Spanish, Portuguese, Dutch, and English.
Amazing. I wish I spoke that. That's incredible.
Yeah.
No.
So not that one either?
No.
I'm running out of languages. Inuit?
I wish.
I don't got any more.
There's more. Dan, you're really going for some bespoke languages here.
I don't know. That's just the languages
it's
that are coming
to Japanese.
Mind. Oh, that's in a language. That's
awesome.
It's
going to be in Thai. It's going to be in Thai. It's going to be in Italian. It's going to be in Dutch. It's going to be in Czech. It's going to be in French. It's going to be in, I just want to see it in these other languages. I think it'll be very beautiful to see it in Japanese.
It's always fun.
Which I cannot read, but I just think it would be very beautiful to see it.
One of the books I put out way back in the day went wide in languages, and it's always fun to have the cover come in with like Russian on it stuff.
I have a whole cabinet of my foreign editions, and some of them I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
I get books and I'm like, I don't really know what this is, and I put them in the cabinet. I got a
probably
giant cabinet
Papiamento.
Full of these things. Probably Papiamento. But Thai has, I think, isn't it the most characters of any language?
I don't know.
I think it does.
One
or
time,
it doesn't.
I remember my dad telling me he was like traveling somewhere in Europe. He was staying at a small hotel. And these folks came up to his table and started talking to him in some language. And he had no idea what they were speaking. He was, and he was a fairly well-traveled person. And then he like left the hotel and noticed a sign on the way out. And it was an Esperanto convention. Which is like, wasn't that like an attempt at a universal language, I believe?
It sure was. Esperanto was a manufactured language that was an attempt to be worldwide. Everybody would speak Esperanto.
Yeah.
And it worked. That's why we all speak Esperanto to this day.
I'm excited about the Esperanto edition of your mysteries.
Anyway, I do think some books are translated into Esperanto. I'm sure you can get unfortunately, like Harry Potter in Esperanto. But in any case, it's going to be out. I hope you enjoy it. And remember, if you pre-order it from your local indie bookstore, that makes you extra awesome. And if you pre-order it from the Mysterious Bookshop in New York City, you'll get a special customized card. We'll write messages on it for you. And Yeah. And there's other cool book stuff coming up. Dan, there's like lots of book stuff coming up. And it's just one of those times, Dan, when I'm going to have to be five people every day.
Okay. That's
just
doable.
One of those.
You handle that with grace. If you want to order books from us, you can always go to kickbezosintheballs.org. That's our own little bookshop on the internet. And while you are buying things on the internet, you can go to merch.sayswhopodcast.com where we sell all sorts of merchandise. You know what we just sold, Maureen? We just sold a pair of Amy Carter shoe shorts. The best shorts. Anyway, that and a whole bunch of other stuff is available to you at merch.sayswhopodcast.com. And you can also go to shop.dansinker.com where I sell some patches and some shirts and some stickers and whatever. So that's the internet. It's three websites.
The internet is famously three websites.
Mm-hmm. It is.
The other yesterday. I'll save it.
That's how it works. Save it.
Save it.
That's what people like about the show. We save it.
We save it. We don't just put it out there. We save it.
We save it.
And we give you nothing.
Right. The whole point of the show is to guess what we would have talked about.
Says who? We're not telling you.
Says who? Not us.
Oh, Dan, it's nice and it's not too warm out today. Mm-hmm. I'm actually watching people kayak by on the little creek. You know, yeah. It's still like cooking on the grill, cooking some veggies on the grill.
Okay.
You know, got the suntan lotion on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Summertime. Come on, Dan. Do summertime dance with me.
It's summer. It's great. It's been a great, Dan, it's been a great just, summer.
Have you been having a good summer?
Oh, yeah. It's just been a blast. Summer 2025, right up there. Right up there with the best of them.
Like, Dan?
Right up there with the summer of 2020. Chalk it
Dan,
up.
Dan? Hmm. Are you having a bad summer?
I mean, a little bit.
Is it a lot?
I've had better.
Well, the beaches will be open by Memorial Day. Let's go. Hot jaw summer. Listen, Dan, let's have a good time and end it by being eaten by a shark. You know what I'm saying? Let's just go for it. Right into the shark. Right into the shark.
Into the maw.
Yeah, that's how I want to go. That's right, baby. Shark time.
Shark maw. Death by shark maw.
Yum, yum, yum. They have so many teeth.
Yeah.
I bet it would hurt. To get eaten by a shark. I bet it would really hurt, actually.
Yeah.
In fact, the more I'm thinking about it, getting eaten by a shark is a real mistake.
I remember a long time ago. Mm. Must have been, I think it was when Janice was having our first kid. At some point, they sort of asked a pain scale, you know, like, what, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your pain level? And she, like, in the midst of contractions, was like, well, what is 10? And they were like, the worst pain you can imaginable. And I remember her, like, while grunting through contractions, being like, well, I can imagine being eaten by a shark. So she wasn't a 10.
There you go. It's not as bad as being eaten by a shark then, your summer. Is that what you're saying? Have we improved things at all for you?
Yes. Yes.
There you go. Therapy complete.
Play the music.
Welcome.
Yep.
Yep.
Talked over you.
Welcome.
I'm just going to keep saying it.
Welcome.
Okay.
To.
Mm-hmm.
Says Who.
Yeah.
The podcast that isn't a podcast. No.
It is, in fact, a coping strategy. I am Dan Sinker.
And I'm Maureen Johnson. And for real, guys, everybody be extra nice to Dan.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. We're not going to go into the details.
No.
it's just, please, everyone, be really, really nice to Dan if you see him.
It's been a week within a summer.
Yeah, he recounted everything to me yesterday that he was going through right now. And I said, there's not a, well, we're going to need a bigger ice cream cake for this. Dan needs a break.
Yeah, not getting it. I have a question that only I can see.
I know what you're going to ask.
First of all, I see the telltale signs of the novelty houses balanced on a windowsill. Mm-hmm. The sort of faded pastel art on the wall and a large suitcase with haphazard things tells me that you are still at your parents' house.
Yeah, but that's not faded art. That's always looked like that.
No, but that's
it's
nice.
It's been there for so long, but yeah, it's always looked like that.
They were like, what if we made the art look like it was sun bleached?
Yeah.
The question that I have, I'm looking at Maureen via a video stream. And in the upper left corner, there has been something flitting around. What is going on up there? It's very distracting to my brain.
Are you talking about this?
Yes.
Okay.
It looks sort of vaguely leaf shaped.
Right. No. So what it is there's a ceiling fan there and there's a little hummingbird at the end of the pull chain, but hanging off that hummingbird, there's one more step. It is a Times Fraser fur room thing that was never removed after Christmas.
Fashion. Okay. That explains it. It's the stream that I'm getting of Maureen's video is very, very, very low resolution. And so instead of anything, it's just sort of the compression like artifacts are murfling around in one corner.
That's actually just what I look like.
Well, no, you're in this corner. This thing's murfling around in that corner.
Murfling.
That's my new word. Anyway, you've been at your parents' house for a week now.
Sure have.
How's it going?
Here's what I'm going to say, Dan.
Okay.
Your pal Maureen's on a deadline.
Yeah.
We're really coming upon it now. And some days here, I have had some of the best work days.
Okay.
They have not all been the best work days.
Yeah.
But some of them have been the best work days. Yesterday was not among them.
Okay.
And here's why.
Yeah.
Now, I've told Says Who about this before. My father has some unusual behaviors. He sleeps a lot. He wants me to sell his pants. So he came down again yesterday. He was going to go to the doctor. So he had his bath and he had to go to the doctor. And he came down and he begins by telling me that I need to go through his stuff to decide what to keep and then give to my uncle. But nothing of his can be given away because, again, as I've had to tell him, nobody wants your pants. Like, he's like, you have to sell all my stuff. And I'm like, nobody wants your pants. So I'm not selling your pants. And then, so that was like, that's how most conversations start around here, is with something pretty grim or an expression of how much the one hates the other.
To be honest. Sounds great.
It's a lot of it. You guys, listen, I've accepted it. So you can accept it too.
I mean,
it's just how it's happening here. So they go out to the doctor. I have to take Dex for a walk so I can get back to work. And I take her over to this field it's right across the street that we go to pretty much every day. And there is a couple there playing with a dog that looks to me like a young German shepherd. And the dog sees Dexy, gets very excited and charges us.
Oh, I love it.
And Dexy obviously is terrified. And what turned out, I think, was probably excitement quickly turned into, this is how it happens sometimes, it quickly turned into like kind of a battle between them.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get them back. These people are like so far away that they're kind of very slowly approaching. And I'm screaming to try to keep the dog. Like, I'm just trying to get them apart, but I can't because of the leash. So I'm just screaming and screaming. And finally, I managed to get her away. And I get her over and I like tuck her out. And it's, you know, I see she has a little injury on her side, but it's not too bad. She's not bleeding.
Okay.
And they come over and they're like, we're so sorry. I'm like, it's okay. You know, I was like, does he have his shots? And he's like, yep. I'm like, you know, it happened. You know, should the dog have been a leash? Yeah. But like, I wasn't going to be like, I hate you or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to do that. So I'm like, I'm just going to take her home and, you know, I know they're both okay. And I get her home and I look over and she does have like a wound on her side. So
okay. Jesus.
I'm looking at it closely. And so I call my mom cause she's a nurse and she's at the doctor.
Yeah.
Like, cause they were going to do some other errands. And I was like, would you mind just coming home? I'd like you to get eyes on this. I feel like I should take her to the vet, but if you could come home, like, I'd like you to assess it. She's like, of course, I'll come right home when we're done here. So I hear them on the phone. Like, my mom doesn't hang up right away. And I hear the phone call. She's like, well, you know, I have to get home. My dad's like, oh, I want my lottery ticket. So I was like, oh, Christ. So I hang up. Then I'm really spilling the tea here, you guys. So she calls me back to check in and she's like, I'm in the parking lot near the lottery place. I'm so angry. She's like, I had to do this just to keep him quiet. Like, he had to go in. And she's like saying all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, well, and I'm reporting what's going on. And then all of a sudden she goes, oh Christ, he fell down. And the line went dead.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I was like, what? So line gone dead. And I call Oscar and I was like, okay, so here's where we're at. Because he was on the phone with me when the dog attack happened and all he heard was me screaming.
Oh, good.
And then I was like, it's okay. It's okay. She's going to be all right.
Yeah.
So then I don't hear anything.
Yeah.
This is the point where I'm just looking around like, the fuck has happened in the last 2 hours? Like, this is just complete fucking chaos.
Yeah.
So he comes home. Like, it turns out he did fall. He wasn't. Whether or not he was hurt, he will not tell us.
Perfect.
So he was clearly rattled about it, but didn't want to communicate about it. And his communication style when something like this happens is yelling.
Nice.
Yelling to be left alone and saying you're talking to him, me. So it's like, all right, you know, he went up to stairs to rest. And I went to check on him. I'm like, do you need ice? And he's like, he's grumbly. I'm like, okay. I come back up a couple of minutes later. I'm like, do you need some ice? And he's sitting at his computer and he's just looking, leafing through some pictures on Facebook.
Okay.
That I can only describe as just a deck of generic AI propaganda, kind of racist. Like he sees them on somebody's page and it's clicking through and it's like a picture of a soldier that's like, 99% of Americans don't salute the flag, but 1% of the 9% should be saluting. And if you're saluting, you know, just imagine stuff like that. And just sifting through them. And they're clearly like just some AI billboards that have been put behind some pictures of people. And I was like, that's just some AI generated weird memes you're looking at.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you think so? I was like, yes.
Yes.
That's what those are. You're just looking at slogans over pictures that have been put together in a deck and they're just some AI generated, like throw some patriotic garbage up, you know, patriotic, very unsavory garbage up. And I was trying to explain that those are just a deck of memes he's looking at. He's like, I wish I taught you these things. And I was like, well, you tried to. And unfortunately, I learned better. and he's like, you're so mean to Mr. Trump. And I was like, what are you talking about?
My goodness gracious.
I may have heard myself saying that I hope he exploded in a diarrhea volcano because it was the coolest thing I could think of at the time. then I was like, well, so I guess you're good on the ice situation. And I came back down and I was like, well, he's fine. So I'm going to try to get back to work. But meanwhile, I'm calling the vet and the person at the vet's desk, they're lovely, but they were like, I was like, well, this dog, you know, I really would like her to be seen. They're like, yeah, we can't do today, especially if she needs a stitch. We can't do it.
Oh, and perfect.
I was like, well, I kept saying, well, she's like, it's probably fine. I'm like, well, can you have the doctor look at a photo instead? Like, can the doctor look at the photo and say, because if it's not fine, I will take her.
Well, listen to that. Dexy's weighing in on this story.
It's potentially my father, but we'll find out.
Your father's been turned into a dog?
No. That would be interesting.
That would.
It'd be great to have him on the podcast. I think you'd hear some amazing things. So I was then like, well, can the doctor look? And she was like, it's fine. I'm like, well, should I clean it out? She's like, probably not. That may make it bleed. And I was like, what? So it was one of those things where you're just like,
perfect.
Can I just ask the doctor? So the doctor's like, it'll be fine to take her in the morning. So we brought her in this morning and she's fine. She's on antibiotics just to cover it. But, she does have a bite. It wasn't a terrible bite, but it was a bite on her side. So
let me tell you something, Maureen Johnson.
Tell me.
I fucking hate off-leash people. Hate them. I hate them. I am 100% the guy that will yell at people whose dogs are off the leash. And this is why the thing that truly makes me insane is you'll be like, can you get your dog? And they'll be like, she's friendly. And I'm like, right, my dog is not. So get your fucking dog away. Yeah, I hate him. I hate him.
I was too shaken up.
I've yelled at so many off-leash people.
I was too shaken up and just trying to assess the situation. It was more like, okay, it's going to be all right. Let's just, as long as they're both okay, I'm just going to take her home. And he's like, we're going to get her and take him home. And I was like, you can have the field. I'm like, I'm just going to take her home and just have to check her over, to make sure she's, and she did. It was at home that I found the bite on her. So I see that there was something when I found the bite when we got home. But that was like just, I told you some things before we recorded about like some of the other conversations that are here. It is banana pants down here. Put on your biggest banana pants. That's what I have to say.
It's good.
Told me some banana pants stuff. I told you some banana pants stuff. And I think we can agree. You win on the banana pants front, but there's banana pantsery
really
happening.
Competition.
Yours is like tough and mine is weird. So like I feel like, we're just bringing an energy.
Yeah.
That's toxic.
I do appreciate that you really do have a knack for kind of having these wonderful restorative trips.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And then immediately undoing all that good work.
Yeah, it was when I was on the flight home from France last year that I was like, oh, I got all this done. Obviously, the universe will strike me down. And it was when I was on the phone that my father fell at Foodies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Setting into motion this year.
I just sort of imagine like your mental well-being kind of sounding like a fishing rod reel when a real big fish suddenly strikes it and it's just like, there it goes out. Like you had it all nicely rolled up and then there it goes.
Mm-hmm. I'm fishing for sharks.
Yeah, you're doing something.
I'm a very positive person, you've dealt with something long enough, you're kind of like, well, this is just how this goes. That's just how it goes, Dan. It's all good.
Yeah.
I'm loving life. I'm going to get this book done.
Okay.
Yeah. You're great. Your beard's looking fine.
Yeah.
It's forking a little at the bottom.
I got to shorn myself a little bit because it's a little too bushy.
I think it looks great.
A little too everything.
Yeah.
A little too everything. Just the other day, I was like, man, if I shaved off my beard, I think I would look 20 years younger. But I'd also look like a weirdo with no chin.
You'd look like a giant little kid.
I would. I just look like a baby. Just look like a big baby.
If I grew a beard, it'd be incredible.
You would look good.
I would kick ass.
Yeah, you'd look great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it'd be silky.
Okay.
Real silky. That'd be weird if beards were silky.
Beard.
No, but they always have a degree of texture. If it was just genuinely like pure silky, like
like a flowing, a horse mane.
even silkier, just like normal hair, just silk, you know, like just look like an extra ponytail from your chin. Incredible. Yeah.
Mine isn't completely unlike that. I have some of the straightest beard hair I've ever seen.
It is straight.
Yeah. Like it's more head hair than normal beard hair. I don't know why.
It looks magnificent.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I think you're doing great.
Is a silky a horse or is a silky a chicken?
Silky is a chicken.
That's what I thought.
It's a silky chicken.
Oh, look at that. They are some hilarious looking chickens, though.
I think I saw one. Poofy.
They got big poofies.
I saw one in England.
We used to be in Boulder, Colorado, where we'll actually be next week. But we used to be there almost always when the Boulder County Fair was happening. And the highlight of the Boulder County Fair, which is largely extremely sketchy carnival rides, the highlight is that they still have sort of a 4-H club. And all the kids display all their little animals and the chicken room. You get a lot of silkies. You get a lot of real crazy looking chickens. But the true highlight of the Boulder County Fair every year, they had a goat costume contest where kids would dress their goats up and then parade them around. And it was amazing.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was truly. I do like a real 4-H club rural county fair. And the thing that's funny about the Boulder one is like that whole area is not rural anymore, you know, but there's still sort of the vestigial limbs of it once being a rural like farming community. And it mostly manifests in the county fair. But we haven't timed ourselves well. I think actually they hadn't done it for a number of years post COVID, post 2020. But our timing has been off for the last few, but I miss it.
Dan, I hope that when you go out on the road next week, you have some wonderful experiences. Some tacos, some...
We're taking the big one back to Southern California.
Is this his junior year?
This will be his junior fucking year of college.
That's
mind-blowing.
That's not okay.
It is wild. And I will also say, and there are probably folks listening who've gone through this and then folks that are listening that haven't yet, but sending your kid off doesn't get easier. Like I am in the process of like, no, just stay. But this year is the first year that he is not in student housing. So he's in an apartment. You know, it just so happens that we now have a whole house that needed to get emptied out this summer. So we're renting a U-Haul trailer, loading it up with some stuff from my mom's house. And then because, you know, everything has to happen all at once this summer. Janice's folks' house is also being cleared out this summer. So then we're going to stop there and load some more stuff in. So he's getting a lot of old people's furniture, essentially. So we got to haul a U-Haul trailer out, which is both stressful. And then we both remember, like, this is an 8-foot U-Haul trailer. We usually tow a 27-foot trailer. I think we're going to be okay. But we will have a little bit of time in Los Angeles. We have some meals planned. Gonna eat well. Always eat well in Los Angeles.
I would eat tacos every day.
Yeah, for real. Did I tell you about the on his college campus or near his college campus? There are a lot of street vendors. This one guy, holy shit! I think about the torta that this one guy made. On the regular, he's so, like, for those folks that are unfamiliar with LA, food trucks are much less of a thing than just people that set up like folding tables with propane gas grills and like a little tent on a sidewalk, right? And this guy is one of those. And he made, so first of all, he has a little spit with al pastor on it. So I ordered an al pastor torta. Torta is a sandwich. And so the al pastor, he's like carving it off. And then he gets this giant amount of shredded cheese. And he throws it right down on the griddle, the cheese.
Right, charred.
And then, yeah. And so then he takes the meat and he takes everything else and he plops it in the middle of the cheese. And then he gets a little thing and he folds the cheese up mm-hmm. around it. Then he places that on the sandwich. It was like witnessing an artist at work. I was amazed. I was standing there with my mouth agape. And it was so delicious, like crispy cheese bits. Oh, and I was just some dude like on a corner. I love food in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it is. I mean, California, it's good. You know, also, not to shop in it, I do want to see one of those weird Air One grocery stores where everything's like $5,000.
Oh, yeah, like the $20 smoothies.
Yeah, just to see what kind of weird freakery is going on in there. I'd like to have a lot
of weird freakery. But yeah, the one thing about, so there's an amazing website, news website that I have read for years and years called LA Taco that just has traditionally written about street food, essentially sort of a street food, started as like a review site and then became a little bit more kind of news influenced. But now, because we live in a fucking fascist state and Los Angeles has been ground zero for ICE enforcement, they have become like the frontline reporters on the crackdown on street vendors. So it's literally like they are doing a better job writing about it than anyone. And that's one thing that the big one has voiced to me is like, I wonder what the street vendor situation is going to be like when I get out there. Cause like, that's mostly, if he's not cooking his own food, that's what he's eating. But you know, the general reporting is that a lot of street vendors have stopped setting up shop and stuff or have been arrested. So love the world we live in. We're a whole bunch of people that do nothing but bring amazing food into the world are being rounded up by fucking masked goons.
Yeah, it's not great, is it, Dan?
No, it's not great. But Maureen Johnson.
Yeah?
As we sit down to record.
Okay.
Trump, for some reason, is standing on the roof of the White House.
Okay.
Well, so that seems fine.
What's he doing up there?
Unclear. He was standing specifically, there's an extension of the White House, like a one story, it looks like, from the outside that houses like the White House briefing room and stuff like that. He was standing on the roof of that. So he wasn't up super high, but there was sort of collected press from the video that I've seen. The collected press was probably standing 100 feet from where he was. And they were yelling questions to him, which it seems that he was sort of half hearing. And then he was yelling answers back that people could hardly hear. So don't really know. The best guess is that they've just announced like a couple of days ago that they're going to add a $200 million ballroom to the White House as a big extension. And so I guess maybe he was on the roof surveying the land. I don't know why. A couple things on that. One, it's not his house. Can't just add an addition. Congress, in fact, appropriates all the funds for that kind of thing, and they haven't. And they've said this will be privately financed, which, of course, private money to fund something like this is ripe for corruption. But personally, I can't fault the guy for going out on the roof.
No. If you had a chance to go on a roof, go on a roof.
The Punk Planet offices, our last and largest and best office, was in a industrial building in the Ravenswood corridor of Chicago. And it was tall. It was two floors, but both floors were like 15 or 18 foot floors. Like they, cause it was a warehouse building. And we had roof access, Maureen. And some of my most joyous memories were just going up with folks. We would go up on the roof. It was a huge roof. And we would drink beer and we would fly kites. And
wow.
Flying kites off the roof was amazing because there was always a good wind. You were just out there, it was sunny. You were drinking beer, you were flying kites. It was great.
Dan, one time I have a memory of being at a party, like a small gathering at somebody's apartment early in my time in New York. And I ate what I thought was just a brownie.
Oh, no. Oh, that's a good, that, I mean, you don't almost don't even need to finish the story with a setup like that.
I ate the whole thing.
Yeah, sure you did.
Because it was just a brownie.
Yeah, it was probably delicious.
And then they were like, oh, yeah, those are the weed brownies. I was like, oh, okay. And then, so at first I was like, well, nothing seems to be happening, so I guess it's going to be fine.
These stories, I feel like always progress in this exact same manner.
And then an indeterminate amount of time later, the next thing I remember is that I was on a roof. And I don't think it was the roof of that building.
Perfect.
Just kind of sitting there. And I remember it was like a beautiful kind of like sunset-y sky. It was really nice. The sun was very, I remember it being very orange and lovely. And that's all I know.
Amazing.
That's all I know.
I had to just look up the date. And it was a long time ago now. It was 11 years ago when, so this was probably like right around when weed legalization was starting to happen. And New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd went to Colorado to eat some weed chocolate.
And oh, then that's right.
Wrote a whole column about it because she ate the whole bar.
She ate the whole bar.
And basically just fucking disassociated for an evening.
If you've never experienced this, you don't, those are divided into sections. You're only supposed to eat like a square. Imagine a Hershey bar and you're only, or like any bar that has a little, you break one, but she ate like eight.
Yeah.
And then she forgot what her skin was and thought she was a floating bag of glob. She had a terrible time.
Yeah.
And it's because she ate the whole chocolate bar.
Amazing. And then wrote a whole column about it.
About how it was terrible. I love a cell phone. I love a cell phone. Like, it's just, I've been really revisiting the Prince Philip interview this last week. Because it still remains to me one of the greatest kind of examples of so many things. Just a well-done interview with someone who was so sure of themselves, just how it happened, why it happened, how it went down. It's just one of these very rare kind of rhetorical spectacles.
Catch me up here. Give me the background on what you are referring to.
Do you not remember this? So Prince Philip had an association with Jeffrey Epstein, who's come up a lot this week.
I thought that was Prince Andrew.
I'm sorry. What have I been saying? Philip?
You've been saying Prince Philip.
That's because I'm insane.
Okay.
Prince Andrew.
Okay. All
now
right.
Imagine everything. I just ate a whole brownie.
Yeah, that would explain it.
Prince Andrew. The Prince Andrew interview. And just what a what a weird spectacle it is. How many things had to go right or wrong for it to happen. And to really get someone and have them just self-own in such a way.
Yeah.
It's magnificent to watch. And obviously Jeffrey Epstein, still very much in the news this week. just because of the, you know, the Ghislaine Maxwell being transferred to a lower security prison in Texas, and this the
after spending 2 days being interviewed by the Department of Justice
and the president's personal lawyer.
Yeah,
you know, and what a surprise when I guess in a couple of days she gives testimony that totally exonerates Trump and a list of Republicans except whoever they want to throw under the bus. And
yeah, go figure.
Yeah, or, you know, has an accident of some kind.
You know, things can happen at a minimum security prison in Texas.
Mm. It's like leaving Putin alone in an all window building with a bunch of dudes he doesn't like.
A lot has, in fact, happened, Maureen, but certainly the one that I did not have on my cards.
Mm-hmm.
Is the sudden announcement that we're going to build a nuclear reactor on the moon.
You're goddamn right we are, Dan. You're goddamn right we are.
Why not?
Yeah.
That's every time I look up at the moon and I think, there's no power on that shit.
Dan, there's an old episode of Mr. Show with Bob Odenkirk and, oh my goodness, with Bob
David
Odenkirk
Cross.
And David Cross, where they give a press conference at NASA and they say, America can, should, must, and will blow up the moon. And we're just going to build a nuclear reactor on the moon.
Yeah.
We're going to build a nuclear reactor on the moon.
Yeah. Mr. Show just reminds me. Mm-hmm. There is one of the funniest, for reasons it's almost hard to explain, Mr. Show sketches, is that of a guy who comes back, like visits his parents. I don't even remember the premise, but they have a large thimble collection on their wall. And he proceeds to continually knock it over. And for whatever reason, it just keeps getting funnier and funnier and funnier and funnier. Maybe he came back from like climbing Everest or something. So they hadn't seen him in a long time. And then they're just getting progressively angrier and angrier. And it is like for Janice and I, it's one of those sort of shorthands at this point. Every time something wrong happens, you're like, it's like the thimbles, right? That dude, that wasn't Bob Odenkirk or David Cross. It was like one of their other folks that was on the show. That dude was at fucking January 6th. The actor. I remember early on after it, people were like, that dude sure looks like that guy from Mr. Show. And then it turns out, yeah, he spent a year in prison for being at Jan 6.
Well, you know, I guess his day is coming, I guess, where he'll get his pardon. I don't know.
I think he must have. I think he must have done his time before the pardon. But he's, I mean, oh. I guess now he's been had that exonerated. Yeah.
Well, I guess we're going to build a reactor on the moon.
Yeah. You know. It does feel a little bit like they sort of rushed an announcement to try to just change subjects. The big thing this week, in addition to everything else, is that the job numbers came out for July and they were real bad. And then they revised May and June's to be even worse. And, I have for a while now, Maureen, kind of wondered why the jobs numbers seemed good when hundreds of thousands of people had been laid off from government jobs, right? Like it always was like, why are we not? Is hiring other places so good, even though everyone I know that's looking for a job can't get one? Like, is hiring so good that it's somehow counterbalancing the fact that government has been slashed in pieces? And now it turns out no, so we're seeing that, seems, bad job numbers happen.
Right.
To every president. It's something that you usually take seriously because sometimes it's a blip and sometimes it's a larger trend. Since we've been plunged into economic chaos for the last 7 months, feels like it's probably more of a trend or at least a warning light. But instead of heeding that warning light, Trump announced that he was firing the person that collects the data. Which seems great. That's, of course, what we've done in science and health, the environment, pretty much anywhere else that people count things. So let's just build a nuclear reactor on the moon.
Well, Dan.
No,
I want you to go on.
Okay. There is also the thing where Trump has decided that there was a conspiracy against him back in 2016. And so now he's trying to, I'm not even sure, I guess, prosecute Obama and Clinton era people over it. I vaguely remember a Supreme Court decision that said the presidents were immune to anything they did in office.
Dan, I forgot that was a thing.
Yeah. So that seems like they can't really go after Obama. But this is the thing that I don't totally understand about this.
Right.
So this was a conspiracy that was run at the highest levels to ensure that Donald Trump did not become president in 2016, except that he did. So, like, they pulled off a conspiracy that didn't actually work. Like, what are we doing here?
So that means there's a real chance that it happened.
It's true. I guess it would be the most Democratic Party thing in the world, right? To build this entire conspiracy and then have it not work.
I will say that since we've been talking.
Yeah. Did he ever come down from the roof?
No, subpoenas have been issued.
Oh, perfect.
To the Clintons.
Okay.
And I guess a few other people in regard to the Jeffrey Epstein stuff.
Oh.
So.
By the House?
Yes. House Oversight Committee subpoenas.
So they'll subpoena Democrats about this, but they're not going to go beyond that.
And the Epstein files.
Yeah. The nice thing about that is I also vaguely remember that basically it turns out you can just ignore subpoenas from the House Oversight Committee. If the last 4 years have taught me anything.
Dan. I can't get into the details, but I have spoken to my friend that works in interpersonal violence.
Okay.
And she's having things are bad in that regard. Like, there's a lot going on that's bad. But in this conversation that she had with me, she said at the end of it, she's like, these people came in with a 900-page document of what they were going to do, which he denied he had anything to do with. And then they proceeded to implement. And they actually got this shit done.
Yeah.
Where is our Project 2026?
Yeah.
Where is our Project 2028?
Good
Where
question.
Is the document? Where is the plan? She's like, because I know a lot of smart people.
Yeah.
That would be happy to write sections of it. Right. I'd be willing to help. I know loads of people. Like, there'd be no shortage of hands and smart people.
Yeah.
That would be willing to write such a document.
Yeah.
And not just kick out the fascists. That's job one now. But then after that, implement positive, undo as much damage as we can, restore as much as we can, and then make actual changes.
Right.
For example, health.
Yeah.
Education.
Mm-hmm.
The environment.
Yeah.
Strong environmental protections, things to develop communities, library funding.
That'd be nice.
All the things, food.
Yeah.
Food, water, air, everything communities need to survive. And we put all of our energy and all of our minds into thinking about collaborative solutions to problems that don't involve constant, unsustainable growth that leads us to doom.
Yeah.
And instead focuses on interconnected development, people working with each other in a healthy way that provides a good life for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
That plan does not exist, Dan.
No.
Why doesn't it exist?
I mean, the thing that is impressive is the wrong word. The most insidious thing about Project 2025 was not that it was sort of a vision for what America could be as defined by conservative ideologues. Because we've had that stuff before. What was truly insidious about it was it went piece by piece saying exactly how to implement each thing. Right? Like it was not just sort of a, it was not just a vision statement. It was not just a, it was not just a, here's what our conservative utopia could look like. It was, here are the exact weird, obscure laws or rules that can be bent or whatever you need to do X, Y, and Z. Right? Like it was a, it was well beyond a position paper, but instead essentially an instruction manual. And yeah, we don't have anything like that.
Well, you'll feel better to know that I just got a text from the Democrats asking me for $5.
Nice.
So I think things are going pretty well.
Set. Everything's set now. Good. It's all Dan, turning around. Nuclear reactor on the moon.
The solution is, and always has been, working with other people.
Yeah.
And not being overly greedy.
Not being overly greedy.
Greedy.
Ah, yes.
We can actually have quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And sustain it.
Yeah.
It is actually possible.
Yeah.
But the myth of growth and the myth of us being better than everybody else has fucked us. It's infected people. It's infected my father. You know, like it's an infection.
Yeah.
That he is very sad, apparently, that I didn't catch.
Well,
as he said yesterday.
Yeah.
And when I really think about it like that, I think of it as an illness.
Right.
Like he's been infected with an illness. Like I don't think you grew up in a house like that. I don't think you had like, where you had to learn the rules about the flag.
No, I grew up in the opposite. Yeah. I grew up in a very, very like, yeah, like my folks going through all their shit. I just found a whole like scrapbook binder of their like March on Washington trip and stuff like that. So yeah, that's where I grew up.
Yeah, we had real opposite.
I found
real opposite.
The other day this incredible drawing that I had done that was on like a big piece. If you remember, like when you were little, there were these big pieces of newsprint that like the top was open for a drawing and then the bottom had really big letters, right? Mm-hmm. And written on the bottom was something like, Ronald Reagan is our new president. And then the drawing was a guy sitting at a desk and people in chairs throwing tomatoes at him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was little me.
As I've said before, I was the one that spent indoor recess quietly at my desk writing patriotic poetry.
Yeah, we had very different upbringings, for sure.
And here we got, how do you think that we had such different journeys.
It's true. Different journey, same bus stop.
Yep. See, that's the thing, guys. You can find your way.
Can I tell you, and then we need to wrap up, but I recounted this story to somebody the other day who was, I forget what the context was. I recounted it online, but I had to just hit me suddenly this memory of when I used to take the division bus in Chicago all the time to get to work and was riding the bus and a guy walked up to me. I was like writing something. He said, "Hey, can I borrow your pen?" And I said, sure. And then he proceeded to write stuff on little slips of paper with my pen. Then he walked up to every woman on the bus, no hesitation on age or anything else, went, hey, baby, call me sometime, and handed them a slip of paper, then hit the ding stop thing, bus stop, got off the bus. I didn't get my pen back. But man, what a move. That guy was working the numbers. He was just like, hey, if I give my number to everyone,
right,
somebody will call eventually.
Right. Yeah. And what's the lesson you learned from that, Dan?
I don't know. Have more than one pen, for sure.
That's the lesson.
I didn't
have more than
writing.
One pen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Here, I bought so many when I was in England. I thought I needed more supplies. So I bought another pack of colored pencils, a bunch of markers.
I love an English stationery store.
You don't. You just shut your mouth. That's my love language. Yeah. I go into Ryman's, I look at us, and I walk in every time. Every time I walk in, and I go over to the first rack, and I say, hello, lovers, every time. Like, I greet them like they're my friends.
I just love a little high street stationery store.
Yeah, just the Ryman's is like the straight up plainest. Like, you go in, and it's just like notebooks and pens, not fancy.
Yeah, no.
They just have everything you need.
Yeah.
And I kind of go into a sort of fugue state of happiness. It's like an intoxicant.
They're awesome.
It's so like, it's like I've eaten an entire chocolate bar, except I'm not spiraling out. I'm just walking out with six notebooks.
Yeah.
There's nothing that a new notebook can't cure.
It's true.
All you need is a new notebook, a pen from a weirdo, and a dream.
And on that note, Says Who is made possible by you through your support of our Patreon at patreon.com/says who. That's our Patreon, where pretty much every Sunday you get this all over again. If you give it the $5 or $10 a month level, that $10 a month level also gets you a sticker in the mail. Every month you become a member of the Says Who Sticker Club. And this is the other thing that's at least worth saying.
Okay.
Not only are you helping, not only you getting stuff. Not only are you getting a whole nother episode every month, every week, and a sticker every month, you're also actually helping make this thing get made. So,
oh, yeah.
Sometimes I forget to point that part out. Like, you are helping Says Who actually come out. And
yes, it is literally the thing that we are 100% Patreon powered.
Yeah. Yeah.
You own our ass.
Okay.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah, you own our ass. That's right, baby.
Put it that way.
Hey, what's up, bitches? No. Just I want you to know that every time you subscribe to the Patreon, you get a little slice of shoe. You know what I mean? You get to touch my laces. That's right, baby. Tie it tighter. Yeah. That's right.
Patreon.com/says who.
Everyone, this shoe fits all. You know what I'm saying?
Our theme music is performed by Ted Leo. Our logo is designed by Darth.
I got that summer shoe funk. That funky summer shoe smell.
You can contact us at sayswhopodcast.com on Blue Sky. At sayswho@omfg.town on Mastodon. You can always email at hey@sayswhopodcast.com. Join the discussion on Facebook at /group/sayswhovians. Our Facebook group is moderated by Janice Dillard. Thank you, Janice. There's also the fan-run Discord server at tinyurl.com/sayswhodiscord. Whatever you do, spread the word, subscribe, leave stars and reviews on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is that you listen. And you can join us next week, though it might not be next Wednesday. Need to get back to you on that, Maureen.
Yeah. I mean, you guys.
Do you have a deadline? You have a deadline. Do you have a deadline next week?
It's at the end of the week.
All right. It might not be next week, folks, but you'll hear from us soon, and we'll let you know.
Yeah, I mean, everybody. I'm asking you. Dan is. Dan needs a little slack. He needs a little love and friendliness from all of us right now, and we're. Let's give a little bit of that. So,
yeah. All right. But to be continued whether or not there's an episode next week. If not, it will certainly be the week following. Anyway, from my basement here in Chicago, I am Dan Sinker.
And from an undisclosed location in Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia, where it's peaceful, green, and lush, and I'm having a wonderful time.
I like how you started undisclosed and now you're getting more and more and more specific.
I will give you the coordinates. You know, did we use that three words thing here? The what three words?
I'm not sure I know what you're talking about.
What is it called? Is it called what three words? What three words? The simplest way to talk about location. So if you put the what three words in and you put in just it's what the number three and then words.com.
Mm-hmm.
Every single location, they will generate three random words. So all you have to do is give them the three words and anybody would be able to pinpoint you. Exactly. I'm going to just look at it as where I'm at. Let's see here. What are three words I get?
Oh, yep, I got it. It just creates a little URL. It's like a tiny URL, but clever.
Right. And you can say to someone like, what three words are you? And you give the three words and they can pinpoint your exact location.
Yeah.
Like I feel like maybe this is used more in the UK because maybe they're trying to make this happen here and it, okay. I don't know. But you can do the what three words. I was going to say,
I've
words.
Never heard about this.
Yeah. Yeah. What three words?
There you go.
Yeah.
Is it from Chicago? Because two of their about page, the two images are from Chicago. Where are these people? No, it's all BBC and Financial Times. All right.
There you go.
Well, there you go. Anyway, we are.
I am Maureen Johnson.
This has been Says Who.
Oh,
whoa.
Yeah.
A little trumpet.
A little trumpet.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
It's like the king just arrived.
Or king's leaving.
And or that king king's is you. Leaving. Aww.
That's you proceeding out.
There I go.
With your beard trailing beautifully behind you.
It's true.